Okay, so welcome back, everyone, to our weekly Daf a Week Shir. The recording is on, so no one said anything not good anymore. We see that for after the recordings or before the recording. But we're doing Daf Chaf today, and right now we're on Yud Tes Amud Beis 19b. Where are we? Well, we're like smack in the middle, as we always tend to be, smack in the middle of where the wide lines are. So I would say once the wide lines begin, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, about 20 lines in, from 20 lines down into the wide lines. And we're at the word Tanya. Okay, good. Everyone got it? Okay, see. Okay.
What's the first word on the line?
The first word on the line is Mipnei.
Got it.
Okay, great. So let's begin. Tanya was telling Raisa, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Parata. Rabbi Elazar ben Parata says, Miyom shachar beis hamigdash na'asu gishamim tzimukin le'olam. So from the day that the beis hamigdash was destroyed, the sources of rain have been like tightened up for the world, which means to say that rain falls less frequently, or I should say that it was easier for rain to fall in the times of the beis hamigdash, but now once the beis hamigdash is destroyed, it's harder for rain to fall. Meaning, I guess you could say that God is not as happy with the world because we're in this continued status of destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, so God is not as happy to provide us with sustenance. Yesh shana shegishmeha merubin, v'yesh shana shegishmeha muatan. There are years where the rain is plentiful, and there are years where the rain is like lacking, where there's not that much of it. Yesh shana shegashmeha yordan bismanan. There are years when the rains fall during its time. V'yesh shana shein gashmeha yordan bismanan. There are years that the rain does not fall in its time. Shana shegashmeha yordan bismanan. I'm just going to mute a couple of you. Okay, great. Where were we? So what are you saying? You're right. So Yeshana Shagashmeha Yordan Bizmanan. There are years that the rain falls in its time. V'yeshana she'in Magashgashmeha Yordan Bizmanan. And there are years when the rain does not fall in its time. Shana Shagashmeha Yordan Bizmanan. Lemahu Dome. So the years that the rain falls in its time. So what is that comparable to? Well, this is what it's comparable to. Le'eved to a servant. Shenasan lo rabo. Parnasato be'echad b'shabbos. It's comparable to a servant whose master gave him his parnasa, whose master gave him his salary, and in this case, when we say the salary that the Eved would give is his literal, his sustenance, the grain that he would eat. So it's comparable to a master who gives his servant his allotment of grain for the week on Sunday of that week. Why? Because Nim says Isa na'afis kitikna, because you'll see that the dough will be able to be baked properly, like in the right time. V'ne'achalas kitikna, and it will be eaten in the right time. Shana she'in gashmeha yordan bezmanan lemahu dome, the year that the rain does not fall in the right time, what is that comparable to? La'eved shenatan lo ribo parnasato be'erev Shabbos. It's like a situation where the master gives his servant his parnasa, his grain, on erev Shabbos, on Friday. Why? That's not a good thing. Because nimseis isa na'afes shelo ketikna, because the dough of the bread will be baked not properly. Meaning, what's going to happen? He's going to get the payment of the grain, like an hour before Shabbos. So how well will he actually be able to prepare his bread for Shabbos? Not well. So the dough for his bread is going to be baked not properly. V'ne'echeles shelo ketikna, it's going to be eaten not properly. Meaning, at the end of the day, it's good to have rain at the right time, because when you get rain at the right time, that's like a person who gets paid at the beginning of the week so they can have a proper meal. Whereas if you get rain in the wrong time, that's like someone who gets paid at the end of the week where they will have an improper meal. Shana shegashmeha merubin lemahu dome, when you have a year that the rain is plentiful, what is that comparable to? Le'eved shenatan lo ribo parnasato bebas achas. It's like, so this is a little complicated, so stay with me. It's like a master who gives his servant his parnasa, his grain, for the whole year, bevas achas, at one time. So meaning he chooses a date at the beginning of the year, the servant gets his payment, his allotment of grain, for the entire year. Why? Because nimtzu rechayim tochanos min hakor, mash tochanos min hakav, because as a result, the millstones where they grind from, so they'll grind from a core, this core, like the measurements of a core, so the same amount that they grind from a kav. Meaning that when you grind up the grain that you're given, so inevitably some of it's going to be lost in the millstone. That's just how it works. So it happens to be, how much do you lose in the millstone every time you grind up your grain? Well, no matter how much you grind, whether it's a lot or a little, you'll always be losing the same amount. So if you have one core, which is a big amount, or if you have one kav, which is a small amount of grain, then no matter how big the amount is, you'll always be losing the same amount. So if you get all of your grain at the beginning, beginning all at once and you grind it up all at once, then you'll lose much less than if you have to grind it up every single week and prepare your flour every single week. So what are we saying over here? So rain that is plentiful, what is that comparable to? When you have a year that has plentiful rain, it's like a servant who's given all of his grain at the beginning of the year, because he can grind up all of his grain at once, so he'll end up losing more in the end. The name says, Isa ochelas menakor, kumo ochelas menakav. And we'll find that the kneading of the dough, how do you explain this? That when the dough is kneaded, we'll find that when you knead the dough from a core of wheat, it's like you are kneading the dough kimo echelas min akav. That's from a kav. So what does that mean? It means that when you come to, it's easier to explain outside sometimes, that when you are taking your grain and you're kneading it up, you have like a trough for kneading. So again, whenever you knead something, you're always going to lose a little bit in the cracks, the trough or whatever it is. So whether you are kneading a core or you're kneading a kav, you're going to lose the same amount. So if you get all of your grain again at the beginning of the year, so not only will you lose less in the millstone, but you also lose less in the kneading trough, because you lose the same amount no matter how much it is. So it's always good to get all the grain at the beginning of the year, just like it's always good to have a year of lots of rain. Shana Shegashmeha Mu'atin Lamahudoma. When you have a year where the rain is lacking, what is that comparable to? Le'evid She Nasan Lo Rivo Parnasatome Atmat. It's like a servant who has given his grain from his master little by little. Nimtsuri Chaim Masha Tochenas Minakor Tochenas Minakav. The same idea. Whenever it comes to grinding in the millstone, it's the same thing if you grind from a core as if you grind from a kav. So this guy is probably going to get a kav every single week, which is a small amount, so he'll lose a little bit of the kav every week, as opposed to just losing a little bit from the core just once, which again, that means he'll lose a lot more if he gets it week by week instead of once a year. And the same thing when it comes to kneading the dough. When he kneads from the dough, then he's going to end up losing more, because he's going to have to knead it every single week instead of all the way just at the beginning of the year. Davar acher, another thing. Bizman shegashmeha merubin lemahudome. What is a year that the rain is plentiful? What is it comparable to? Le'adam shemegabel esatit. It's like a man who is kneading clay, right? You're making clay, or you're molding clay, and something like that. In geishlo mayim rabim, if he has a lot of water, mayim einan kalim. Kalim ve'atit meguval yafeh. So what happens if he has a lot of water, then the water will not be used up, and then the clay will be kneaded up very nicely. Im yishlo mayim watim, but if he has too little water, mayim kalim, v'hatit inu mitzgabel yafeh, then what's going to happen? The water is going to be used up, it's going to run up, and the clay will not be kneaded properly. So it's always good to have more water. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis told on the brayso, Pam achas alu kol Yisrael l'regel l'Yerushalayim. We're going to have a few very large stories today, a few very large brysos. So one time, Pam achas alu kol Yisrael l'regel l'Yerushalayim. One time, all of the Jewish people went up for one of the regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkos. Everyone went up to do aliyah l'regel to Yerushalayim. V'lo hayalahem mayim l'shos, and they had no water to drink. Halach nakdimon ben Gurion. Everyone thinks Ben Gurion was only a modern figure. No, Ben Gurion was a figure even in the times of the Gemara, in the times of the Beis Hamikdash. So some individual named Nakdimon ben Gurion, who was a very rich Jew, so he went, Eitzel Adon Achad, and he goes to one of like the non-Jewish individuals, or what, non-Jewish master. Amar lo, and he says to him, Al halveni shtemesre mayonos mayim le'oli regalim. Give me 12 springs, or give me 12 wells that you have that probably aren't filled entirely with water. But it was, again, so it was the time of a drought. They didn't have water to drink. So he says to this non-Jew, who evidently did have wells with something to drink, he said, give me 12 wells, give me 12 springs with water for the oli regalim, for all the Jews that have now come up to celebrate their holiday. Va'ani yatin lecha shtemesre inos mayim. And he says, if you do that, then I'm going to give you 12 wells that are filled with water. V'im eini, meaning he'll pay him back. V'im eini notin lecha, harini notin lecha shtemesre kikar kesem. He says, whoa, just so you know how serious I am, if I don't give you the water back, then I will give you 12 kikar of kesef. What does that mean? So that equals approximately 72,000 silver dinar. That is a lot of money. He says if he doesn't have the water to pay him back, he's going to give him a lot of money. The kabbalos man, and the he established a time that if they, that this is the time when he has to give the money back to him by if he doesn't have the water to return from him. And once the time came, and in other words, the Jews drank the water, and I guess the holiday was over, and now the time to pay back has come. But still, the rain has not fallen. B'shachris, so in the morning, b'shachris, in the morning, shalach lo shagar li omayim oma osheish li biyadcha. He says, in the morning, okay, so the time has come, so either give me the water or the money that I have of yours in your hand. Shalach lo, he sends back to him, adayin yesh li zman kol hayom kulo shalihu. He says, what do you mean? I still have the whole day. We said I have to pay you back by, let's just choose a date, by August 10th. That's when we said I have to pay you back. It's August 10th in the morning. And when I said I'll pay you back by August 10th, I mean by 11:59 p.m. That's when I'll pay you back. So I still have the whole day before me. Don't come to collect yet. But Sahar, seems like he's stalling over here. But Saharayim in the afternoon, Shalach lo shagar li o mayim o ma'os sheish li biyadcha. He says in the afternoon, either give me my water or give me my money. Shalach lo adayin yesh li shehos v'yom. He says, what do you mean? It's the afternoon. I still have till 11:59 tonight. Not actually, we're going by the Hebrew dates, but okay, you understand the example. I still have time in the day. B'mincha, then mincha came, which mincha means like late afternoon here. Shalach lo shagar li o mayim o ma'os. He says, give me my money or give me my coins. Shalach lo adayin yesh li shehos bayom. He says, what do you mean? I still have time in the day. So it's late in the afternoon. Shkia is late. It's Shkia is whatever it is, 8:25, 8:26. And so, you know, it's only 7 o'clock. I have plenty of time. Okay, fine. What happened? Leg alav oso adon. This master, who we understand is probably like a Roman individual, so this Roman guy starts mocking this guy. He's like, oh my gosh, what a fool. He's wasting all this time. Don't worry. He wants to wait till the end of the day. That's fine. Clearly it hasn't rained until now, so whatever. I'm going to get all my money. It's going to be a great thing. Amar kol hashana kula. What did he say? He says, the whole year, lo yardu gishom, the rain has not fallen. We're on the top of Chaf HaMarav. He says, the whole year, rain has not fallen. Be'achshav, we have an hour left in the day. Way past the time the rain should fall. Yardu Gshamim, is rain really going to fall now? Nichnas Leves Amerechatz Pesimcha. So he went in, he's like, you know what? I'll give the guy a break. I'm going to go into the bathhouse in happiness, and I'm going to enjoy myself. I'll come out, who knows when? I'll come out whenever I want. So he goes into the bathhouse very happy because he knows when he comes out, it's obviously not going to rain anymore. So he's expecting to get a nice payday. Now, while he went in into this bathhouse in happiness, what do you know? Nakdimon nechnas lebeis hamikdash. This guy Nakdimon, he went into the beis hamikdash kishehu atza, when he was sad, nisataf, and he wrapped himself up in either a talus or in some clothing. Va'amar betfila, and he davened. What did he say? Amar lefana ribono shel olam. He says to Hashem, God, Galoi viadua lefanach, it's revealed and known before you. Shalo lechvodi asisi, I didn't do any of this for my honor. Shalo lechvod beis abba asisi, I didn't do any of this for my father's honor. Or my father's house's honor. Ela lechvodcha asisi, shihu mayim etsuyin le'oli regalim. Rather, I did it for your honor that I did all this. Why? Because I wanted water to be found for all those Jews who were doing a mitzvah, the mitzvah that you commanded them. I wanted to make sure they had water to drink. What happened? Miyad niskashru shamayim be'avim. Immediately, the skies became overcast. And the rain fell until the wells were totally filled up and beyond what the point. So meaning, let's say they were half filled up when they borrowed them, and that was enough. So now they were fully filled up, beyond what he had lent him. Now, all of a sudden, this Roman guy left the bathhouse. He went in very happy. He's not going to be very happy in a minute. So, Nakdimon Ben-Gurion, Yatz mi Beis HaMikdash. Nakdimon leaves the Beis HaMikdash. Kisha, okay, so they're, you know, this guy leaves the bathhouse, this guy leaves the Beis HaMikdash, they're walking on the street, they're going to meet each other. Kisha pagu zebaze, when they met each other, amar lo tini dami mayim yoter sheyesh li biyadcha. Now Nakdimon got all haughty. He says, you know what, Mr. Roman guy, give me money that will pay for the extra water that I'm paying you back. Amar lo, the Roman says back to him, yodea ani shelo hirish HaKadosh Baruch Hu es olamo ela b'shvilcha. He says, I know that God only made it rain because of you. You were the reason that God did this. But he says, I still have a complaint against you. That you should pay me money for the 72,000, like you told me. Why? Because the sun had already set, the day had already ended, and the rain fell in my rishus. So first of all the rain is mine because the day had already finished. Number two, you owe me the money because you told me that it wasn't by the end of this day. So you. Number one, I keep the water. Number two, you still owe me money. Chazar, and that's even though he understands that God did a miracle. Chazar v'nechnas to Beis HaMikdash. Now, all of a sudden, Nachtimon was really upset. He's $72,000. I'm a wealthy guy, but I can't just give him $72,000. So, Chazar v'nechnas to Beis HaMikdash. He goes into the Beis HaMikdash again. Nis'atif v'amar b'tfila. And he wraps himself up, and he davens. V'amar l'fanar ribono shalom. And he says to Hashem, Hoda sheyish lecha ahuvim b'olamecha. He says, make it known, God. Hoda, make it known that you have a beloved in this world. And what do you mean? That you have a Jewish nation that you care about, that you're looking after. Miyad, what happened? Nispazru ha'avim v'zarcha chama. Meaning he was telling God, come on, God, I did this whole thing for you, so stop playing games, just make this happen, make it all go away. So immediately the clouds scattered and the sun shone. What does that mean? It means this is still the same day. So now, Nachtimon is right now, he is owed money from this Roman guy. The Osa Shah Amarlo Adon, at that time, the Adon, the master said to him, Ilu lo nikdara hachama, if the sun wouldn't have pierced through the clouds, if it wouldn't have shone through the clouds, hayali pischom pe'alecha shosi mimcha me'osai, I would have still had my argument that you owe me money because of the day is over. In other words, what ends up happening? That's the end of the brisa. That's the end of the story. We don't know exactly if he ever got paid back for the extra water that he gave him. But the point is the Roman was being stubborn, and the other point is that this gentleman Nachtimon Ben Gurion was a very holy individual because he took such a gamble and then he ended up davening to God, and then he maybe he didn't get paid back for the extra water, but he was saved from paying all this extra money. Okay, that's the brisa. Tana, it was sudden brisa. Lo Nachtimon Shmo. This guy's name is not Nachtimon. I know we've been calling him Nachtimon, but that's not really his name. Ella Buni. His name is Buni Shmo. The Lama Nikra Shmo Nachtimon. Why do we call him Nachtimon? Shenikdara Chama Ba'aburo. So it's a little bit unclear over here what this text is. If it's Shenikdara, or what some people change it to is Shenikdama, because Shenikdama means like that the Shenikdama Chama Ba'aburo. It means like the sun pierced through. So you could in theory use either word, but the reason why people like the word Shenikdama to explain it is because that sounds a lot more like Nachtimon. Why is he called Nachtimon? Shenikdama Chama. So otherwise you could say, why is he called Nachtimon? Shenikdara Chama. Either way, why was he called Nachtimon? He was called Nachtimon because that was somehow related to this event, that God stopped the sun from setting. He kept it up a little bit earlier, a little bit longer in the sky to help him get out of harm's way and having to pay back this Roman gentleman. Okay, now on that note, Tana Rabban, the Rabbi Sodan Braisa, Shosha Nachdama Lahem Chama Baburan. Three people had the sun held up in the sky so that the sun would not set. Who are those three people? Moshe, Yehoshua, and Nachtimon Ben Gurion. Moshe, Yehoshua, and Nachtimon Ben Gurion. Bishlama, Nachtimon Ben Gurion, Gemara. How do we know? It's understandable that Nachtimon Ben Gurion that it happened for, because it's just a tradition. This is a story. We just told the story, and everyone knows the story. Yehoshua, Namikra. Yehoshua, we have a pasuk that says this explicitly. Tichtiv, Vayadam, Hashemesh, Vayarach, Vayarachamad. That the pasuk says also explicitly. And the sun stayed still, and the moon stood in its place. Meaning, okay, the sun stood still for him. Ela Moshe Minalan. How do we know that the sun stood still for Moshe? Amar Rabbi Elazar, we're going to have a few answers. Rabbi Elazar says, Asya Achel Achel. I have a Gzer Shava. Connection between two psukim. One pasuk says Achel, I will begin, and another pasuk says Achel. Okay. Ksiv Hache, it says with Moshe, Achel Teis Pachtecha. Right? That I will begin to put the dread of you, meaning you, Moshe, and you, the whole Jewish people, upon the other nations. The Ksiv Hasim, and it says over there regarding Yeshua, Achel Gadlecha, that I will begin to make you great. Part of that beginning of making Yehoshua great is that he's going to let the sun stay in the sky and that it will not set in its normal time. So just like we have that with Yehoshua, so do we apply it to Moshe as well? Clearly it happened with him too. Okay. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini says, no, Asya taste. I have a gzeir shava of the word put. It's a Y. Ksil hacha achel taste pachtecha. It says over here that I will begin to put the dread of you on the other nations of the world. The ksil hasim, it says over there regarding Yehoshua, Bayom Tis Hashem Esa Emori, that on the day Hashem put the Emori. This is an example of Yehoshua, that he was at battle, and when Yehoshua was at battle with the Amorites, Hashem made the sun stand still. So just like over there, Hashem made the sun stand still, so too by Moshe, Hashem made the sun stand still. It didn't set. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Asya Megufa de Christ. Rabbi Yochanan says, whoa. Okay, it's very nice. You have two very beautiful Gezeirah Shavas. I'll give you a specific pasuk that seems to say it straight out that it happened with Moshe. How? Because the pasuk says, "Asher yishmuun shemecha veragzu v'chalu mipanecha." The pasuk says, "Whoever hears of your reputation will tremble and be fearful of you, will tremble and be fearful of you." Emasai ragzu v'chalu mipanecha. When will they tremble and be fearful of you? Bishash enekam olochama leMoshe. Ah, it must be the time that the sun stood still for Moshe. So there you see, Moshe, the sun did stand still for Moshe, whether it's the Gezeirah Shava or the pasuk itself. Okay, says the Gemara further, another quote from the Mishnah: V'chein ir shelo yardu aleha gashamim. And similarly, a city that rain does not fall. Remember, this is the case where you have one city that doesn't experience rain, but the city next to it does experience rain, and then that's not a good sign. That's a klala sign. It's a curse. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, v'shtei an klala. So it says an important rule, Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, that it's not that the city who is not receiving rain, that city is cursed, but the city that doesn't receive rain and the city right next to it, all the other cities that are receiving rain, both of them are cursed. Because it's the one who doesn't get rain is going to have a drought, and the one who gets all this rain is going to have too much rain, and it's going to be destructive. Okay, now we're going to have four psukim that are going to sound like bad things, but really the Gemara is going to explain why they're really good things. Okay, it says the Gemara, Haisi Yerushalayim l'nida b'neim, says the Gemara, that the pasuk says, Yerushalayim has become like a nida, like a menstrual woman in their midst. That doesn't sound very good, because a nida is a woman who is not able to touch her husband, can't be with her husband. So that doesn't sound very good if that's what Yerushalayim is being called. No, but Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Lebracha. Really, this pasuk can be understood as a blessing. Kin nida, that Yerushalayim is like a nida. What do you mean? Ma nida yesh la heter, just like eventually a woman who has her menstrual cycle who becomes a nida, well, 2 weeks later, from start to finish approximately, she'll become a mutter, so she'll become permissible to her husband again. So af Yerushalayim yesh la takana. So too we see that Yerushalayim is like a nida. Right now, she's prohibited to her husband. She's prohibited to the Jewish people. But eventually, she'll become cured, she'll get better, and she'll be able to be with her husband, a.k.a. the Jewish people, again. Haisa Kalmana, there's another pasuk that says where is the pasuk? The pasuk is in, it's an Eicha, it's the very first pasuk of Eicha. Eicha yashva badar ha'ir, rabasi am haisa ke'almana. The nation is like an almana, the nation is like a widow. Am Rabbi Yehuda l'bracha. No, this also means for a bracha. Why? Because we're not talking about a regular almana over here. Ki almana, like an almana, but lo almana mamish, not a regular almana. Ela ki isha shalach ba'la medina sayam. Like a woman, not who lost her husband that he died, but a woman whose husband went overseas. V'dato lachzor alehen. She knows that he's going to come back. So that woman can also be called an almana. That woman can also be called a widow in some ways. And so too, that's what the Jewish people, well, that's what it means when we say in that pasuk that we are a widow. V'gam ani natati aschem nevazim v'shafelim. The pasuk says, and therefore I too have made you despised and low. So that doesn't sound too good. No, Amar Rav Yehuda lebracha. Rav Yehuda says this is also a bracha. Delo mukmin minan lo reishi naharei velo gazirifti. That because of this, the Jewish because of this pasuk that we're like low, the non-Jews, the Gentiles, they don't appoint from among the Jews either like customs officials who are like tax collectors or police officers. Why? Because they don't seemingly don't trust the Jews to do these types of important jobs. However, these jobs are actually very hated positions. Everyone hates the IRS. Everyone hates tax collectors. Everyone hates these people who have to do. everyone's nodding, right? Everyone hates the people who have to do, unfortunately, the things that do need to be done. And so, therefore, that's what it means. When God made us lowly, it means that He made us lowly so that we don't have to serve these positions that are important but that are hated by other people. Okay, the Hika Hashem es Yisrael kasher yinod hakana b'mayim. This is going to be an interesting one now. And God will smite the Jewish nation like the reed that sways in the water. Okay, so what does that mean? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Lebracha. This pasuk could also be interpreted as a bracha. How so? Damar Rav Yishmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yishmuel Bar Nachmeni says the name of Rav Yonasan. My dichtev. What does it mean when the pasuk says Ne'manim Pitzei Ohav V'Na'atrot Neshikos Sone? What does it mean when the pasuk says the wounds inflicted by a friend are trustworthy, while the kisses of an enemy are deceitful? It means Tova Klala Shakila So the curses that Achya HaShiloni, who at the end of the day is evidently a friend for the Jewish people, so his curses are better for the Jewish people than a blessing that was blessed to us by Bilam the wicked. How so? Achya HaShiloni kilolana bekana, because Achya HaShiloni cursed us with like a, as like a metaphor of a reed. How so? Amar lehem Yisrael, he says to the Jewish people, v'hika Hashem es Yisrael kasher yinod hakana, that he says that Hashem will smite you like the reed that sways in the water. Ma kana ze omid b'makom mayim, just like you have a reed that stands in like a very in a very watery place. V'gizu machlif, and that its stalk grows back even when it's cut. V'sharshav merubin, while its roots are many. V'afilu kol ruchos ba'olam ba'os v'noshavos bo, and even though all the winds in the world that have come, everyone knows a reed, like the high grass, it's blowing back and forth, all the winds coming, it's blowing it and blowing it. Ein mezizos oso mimkomo, nonetheless, it's never moved from its place permanently. It sways down, the north wind comes and it sways to the south, and then once the wind is over, it flies back, so it's never moved from its place. Ela holich ubayim, Henry, it flows back and forth with the wind. Damamu haruchos, and once the winds will end up dumb, it will become dumb once they end up subsiding. Amar hakana bimkomo, the reed will stand up victorious once again. So even though we were told we were going to be struck down like a reed, so fine, reeds do get struck down, but even when we're struck down, we'll get back up again. That was the curse of Achya HaShiloni. Aval Bilam HaRasha, but Bilam the wicked, who gave us a bracha, birchan be'eretz, he blessed us with like the metaphor of like a cedar tree. Shenem arki arazim aleimayim, right? We usually don't read that, but it happens to be that it is part of the pasuk. So Bilam says to us, that you'll be like the cedar trees. Ma erez ze enu omid b'makumayim, just like this cedar tree does not stand in a watery place. The ein gizo machlif, and once its stalk, once its like trunk is cut, once it's cut off, it doesn't grow back. The ein sharashav merubin, and it doesn't have many roots. Afilu kol aruchos shava olam noshvos bo. And even though all of the winds that will blow in the world, it's not going to move it from its place, still, once the southern wind comes, it's going to be uprooted and flipped on its face. So in other words, the cedar tree is not such a great thing to be compared to. Below, oh, and not only that, Elisha Zacha Kina Litol Heimeno Kolmos. So again, so an Erez is a bad thing, and we were blessed to be like an Erez, so it's not good to be an Erez. The bracha from Rasha is worse than a klala, a curse from a friend, because even the curse from the friend has some good connotations. Okay, well now we're going to say one more nice thing about a kolmo, about a kana, about a reed. Below, oh, and Elisha Zacha Kana Litol Heimeno Kolmos. A reed is such a special thing that it merits that that we make pens out of it that we make pens out of it. Why? Lichtovo sefer Torah neviim v'ksuvim, to write Torah scrolls and neviim and prophets and the writings. We write scrolls for all of these things out of a reed. So that's how you know. Wow, another proof that how special a reed actually is, that we make pens out of it to write these holy books from. Okay, Tana Rabban the Rabbi Sodom the Brisa, another Brisa. We're at the bottom three lines of Chaf Amidav. Li'olam yehe adam rach kikana ve'alyei kasha ke'eres. Since we've been talking a lot about reeds and cedar trees, says the Gemara, one should be soft like a reed and not hard like an erez. Be easygoing. Don't be such like a stick in the mud. Maaseh Shaba Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon m'Migdal Gador. One time Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon came from Migdal Gador. Mi Beis Ribo, he came from his Rebbe's house. What happened? V'haya Rachov ala Chamor Mitayel al Safas Nahar. He was riding on his donkey and he was traveling on the riverbank. V'sameach Simcha Gadola v'haysa Dato Gasa Alav Mipnei Shalom Torah Harbe. He was so happy, this Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, because he was learning so much Torah, and he felt so joyful because of all this Torah that he just learned from his Rebbe. What happens? We're now in Chafam Abayis, top of Chafam Abayis. Nizdamin lo adam echad shaya mechuar biyoter. It happens to be that while he was riding on his donkey, again, there's not a care in the world, he's so thrilled that he just learned so much Torah. It happens to be that he saw a really ugly guy. Okay, Amar la shalom alecha, Rebbe. And this really ugly guy, he sees a holy rabbi, so he says, shalom alechem, Rebbe, how are you? V'lo hichzir lo. And he didn't say anything back to him. What did he say? Amar lo reika. He says, yo, empty one. Kama mechuar oso ish. How ugly are you? Oh my gosh! Shema kol bnei yirecha mechuarin kamoscha. I hope everyone in your city is not as ugly as you are. This is pretty bad. And this is a great rabbi who's saying this. Amar lo, he said it back to him. I'm sorry, what did you just say, Rabbi? Eini yodea ela lecha v'amor l'uman sha'asa eini sha'asa eini kama mechor kli zeh sha'asis. Why don't you, he says to him, a very smart, ugly man, he says, why don't you go ask the man who created me, or the thing, the being that created me, why he made such an ugly vessel, a.k.a. why don't you talk to God? God made me, I'm very ugly, but God made me. So if you have an issue with how I look, talk to God about it. Kivan shiyada be'atzmo shechata, since he knew, since this individual, this rabbi, understood now that he sinned, yarad min achamor, he went down from his donkey, v'nishtateach lefanev, and he prostrated before him. V'amar lohana nisi l'cha mecholi. He says, I'm so sorry I spoke at a turn. Please forgive me. I can't believe what overcame me that I said such a horrible thing. You know, this guy was in such a good mood that he felt like he was worth $1 million. I mean, sometimes when you feel like you're worth $1 million, you say stupid things. So he said something stupid. Please forgive me. He says, Amar lo, he says back to him, Eini moche lecha, asha teilich l'uman sha'asaini, v'omar lo, kama mechur, kli zesh asis. He says, no, I'm not going to forgive you until you go to my master and say, the one who created me, why'd you make such an ugly vessel? I mean, he's saying he's being difficult because he was so insulted by this great rabbi. He was so happy to see this great rabbi, and he gave him such a nice greeting. The rabbi said he looked like an ugly thing, and says, so this guy's not going to forgive him so easily. What happened? Hayemetayel acharav ad shehigiel iro. So this rabbi followed him until he got to his city. Yatsu bnei iro lekraso. All the people of the city went out to greet this rabbi because he was a great rabbi. V'hayu omrim lo shalom alecha, Rebbe, mori mori. They say hello, welcome, shalom aleichem, to our master, to our teacher. Hello, great man, thank you for coming to our town. Amar lehem, the ugly man. I hate to refer to him like that, but that's the best I got right here. Amar lehem, the ugly man said to the people of the city, lemi atem korin, Rebbe, who are you calling rabbi? Amru lo, lezeshem etayel achrecha, this great rabbi that's behind you is the one we're calling Rebbe. Amar lehem, im ze Rebbe, al yirbo kemoso be Yisrael. He says, if this is a rabbi, I hope we don't have a lot of people like him in the Jewish people. Amru lo, mipnei ma, whoa. You don't just speak badly about a rabbi. Why are you saying such a thing? Amar lehem, kach v'kach asali. He says, this is what happened to me. He called me an ugly person. He said, what are you doing? You look so ugly. Get off the street. Amru lo, they said back to him, Afal piken macholo sha'adam gadol b'torahu. They say back to him, still, forgive him, because he's a great rabbi, he knows a lot of Torah, it's worthwhile to forgive him. Amar lehem, he said back to them, Bishvilchem harini mochalo, because of you, I'll forgive him. Ulovach lo yehei ragi la'asoskin, as long as he doesn't make this a habit to keep doing this, to keep calling people ugly. Miyad nechnas Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, or Rabbi Shimon v'darash. Immediately, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon went out and he expounded. He gave the following drasha: Li olim yehei adam rach kekana ve'al yehei kashek eres. One should always be easygoing. One should always be sweet. It should never be someone who's saying mean things or has anything cruel to say. Always be a nice, easygoing person, like a reed, like someone who goes in the wind. That doesn't mean you have to be unprincipled, but it means that if someone ugly comes before you, if someone does something a little stupid, you don't just call them out and just say bad things about people. You be easygoing. Be easygoing like a reed, and don't be hard like a cedar tree. Why? If you want to know how great it is to be a kana, how great it is to be a reed, you'll realize that out of all reeds come pens. We make pens out of reeds. Torah, tefillin, and mezuzos. A little bit different than the previous one, but this is we have pens that come out of reeds to make for us sifrei Torah, to make for us tefillin, to make for us mezuzos, the cloth that goes in it. How holy and how great it must be to be a reed. Everyone should be like a reed. Be easygoing. So I think with that, we're going to stop right here. I understand we're in this weird holding pattern that we start from the middle of the daf that we did last time, so now we always get up to this weird middle point in each amud, but God willing, hopefully we'll make sense of it and get more back on track at some point, but I think for now, we'll stop right here. Everyone should have a great night.